Certainly a tough loss for us. That's for the fans, that's for the players, and that's for the coaches, that's everyone. And that hurts as competitors. And we went back, looked at the tape for us today. We've had six games that have been decided by 4 points or less, and we're 3-3 in those. And that's not good enough. And it's one of the best parts about this league is the competition and coming down to the end. It's honestly part of the game I love the most. And so for us to be 3-3 in those close games, that won't cut it. Furthermore, the story of our team is our philosophy. It's about the ball. And on the ones that we do a good job going after defensively and taking care of it, we're in the plus or zero turnover ratio, we're 5-1. And the ones that we're not and we're in the minus, we're 1-3. And so for that philosophy, we've got to live that. And that's really what it came down to for us yesterday in terms of that ball. We didn't get the points off our turnovers and had some that cost us for sure. And with that, I'll open it up for questions moving forward.
Coach, how can you all get Matt Ryan back on track? And did the film review reveal any flaws in his game?
Well, number one, I think there's some things that Matt's doing well, but probably the biggest issue that came up has had the pick that ended up resulting in a touchdown. And it was one for sure. And I know Matt probably addressed it with you last night as a throw that he just should not have made. And one, he can easily check it down to the flat. And those are the decisions we count on him like crazy for us. So although there's some things in the game that he did really well, that's one I know he probably told you the same that he'd like to have back for us to be at our best. So that was probably the biggest one that jumped out for me.
On that play, was the play action fake good enough? It didn't look like he stuck it in there long enough to hold the linebacker.
We thought on that particular play, the play action fake was long enough, but it's one that you have to rip right now. And so when you go back and look at it, that's really where it is. And if you hold it too long on those, then of course you give the inside backers, you know, chance to get back to their drops. We call the inside players the hook players. So when they have time to get back, they have chances to make plays. We play in a similar fashion on that style of defense. So when that is too late, then you're better off checking the ball to the flat. So that's kind of the story of that play.
How troubling is it after you guys went up 21-7, I think you had as many turnovers as first downs the rest of the way. And you had, I think, ran 25 plays for 52 yards, I believe is what it totaled out to the last six or seven possessions.
For sure.
I mean, what do you – anything stand out to you about what kind of went south there?
For sure I can, and I definitely have an opinion on it. I don't think we have enough plays when we have two series that went one play that resulted in a turnover. And so for sure that's going to be a factor in how we want to play. So for us, when we have those kind of decisions, you know, can we close them out when we're ahead? Damn right we can. And so when we didn't, like I said, we ended up in those close games where you're 3 wins and 3 losses. That's not, the style that we want to play, and that's not going to cut it, and it won't.
Can you talk about a little bit? I know you probably don't have too much of an update on Devontae's status, but
right.
Talk about Devontae. And also, I want to know what your confidence level is right now with Tevin Coleman.
Sure. Yeah, we'll start with the first one with Devontae. He was diagnosed with a concussion, and he'll go back through the concussion protocol this week. And I really don't have a lot to go on other than the fact that he's, off to a good start with that. He's a competitor that, we rely on for all sorts of things, run game, pass game, we've seen the player that he is. Let's not, talk less or more. I mean, he's a real factor. And then getting on to Coleman, for sure we have great belief in him. And we want to make sure he got some reps yesterday and some things that he probably had his first experience out. And the discipline it takes to run it in this system, where it's, one cut, pressing your blocks and going. So having that experience for him going through it, I think was important. It'll pay dividends for us moving down the line. So I have all the confidence in the world in him to play if Devontae is not ready. But then we'll kind of cross that bridge as we get to it at the end.
Two fumbles sometimes can be a little bit, taxing on a rookie, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Rookie, veteran, coach, fan, anybody. And for sure it's taxing. And the good news about that one, for sure it's correctable. And that part I know. And so that's what we'll get corrected. But as a runner, let's make sure it's in our correct hand and just from a philosophy standpoint what we want to do.
That's
no, good.
With Matt's struggles, at this point in time, I mean, if he's not injured and his play isn't where it's supposed to be, do you have to game plan to try to cover up some of the holes in what he's not doing well?
I think the biggest thing, we want to go back again, it's the turnovers. That's the biggest factor. And when we're at our best, you know, and it's not just Madison when we had like a fumble or a turnover, those are our real factor. So I think he has, you know, 15 touchdowns and 10 interceptions somewhere along that line. I'm not sure if I'm in the exact neighborhood. But for us, you know, those games that we don't turn it over, that's where we're at our best. So we'll go back through, make sure that there's decisions to be made in terms of where to go, how to feature them. We'll do that. Is there a throw that we don't like? Those are the ones we want out of our, you know, arsenal of stuff. But there's a lot of things that he's doing well, too. And it kind of gets overlooked sometimes when an interception of that magnitude takes place. And I think it's important to recognize that as well. You know, the sky's not falling. There's a lot of things that we do really well. And when we don't take care of the ball, some of that gets overshadowed as it should.
Coach, going back to Devontae, if he's not available to play on Sunday, would Teron Ward get more snaps as well?
Yes. Yep, Teron would definitely get more snaps if we were only able to go with two.
And do you feel comfortable with him?
I do. Yep, we've had the whole year with him, and we've had some games where he was the second guy when Tevin missed some. So if that scenario would come up again, it would just be where Devontae and Tevin were flipped and Teron was the second back.
You said you were going to go back on one of those three penalties.
Yeah.
On that last drive, what did you come out with?
You know, when I went back, you know, I did see the contact. So when I went back through to say, okay, could have been a call, could have not. It's hard to see sometimes from the side, but I did want to go back and look. And so on some of them, I could see where the contact was. I still have a few questions that I'd like to get answered on some of the other fouls, but on those ones, I could see where the contact was made.
Is that sometimes late in the game? Is it tired? Is it over-aggressive? Is it...
I would say probably it would be more leaning towards over-aggressive, you know, like I'm right here to it. And sometimes, you know, when the ball's not even thrown to your guy, you know, don't grab a jersey or don't make the contact or look back for the ball. So I would say the third part of that would be the experience, you know, like, okay, you're in that scenario again. And sometimes that there's a price that goes with being your first time in it. And it's worth it because you're in the fire and you're going for it. But there's some lessons to be learned that are hard ones at times, but they're learned nonetheless. I think we went through a little bit with Ricardo Allen at times. We went through it with Robinson some on some communication things. And Akeem, we had some as well. I think that's a little bit of the price of doing business when you're younger and still learning. But we're growing from it for sure.
I know that Julio non-catch is a non-catch based upon. I think it would have been a catch a few years ago. Are you okay? Do you, A, understand what a catch is, and B, are you okay with the changes that have been made in the league?
Yeah, I do have an understanding of what it is. And I think the fact that you have to complete it going to the ground, that made it more clear to me. And as long as I know the rules of engagement going in on a topic, I'm comfortable with it. And just like you'd expect, you went up to battle for it. And, you know, when it didn't go through all the way, you know, through the ground, I had a sense that it wouldn't be a catch.
Are you okay? I don't know if coaches talk about it. Is that good for the game? Is the game any better because of that last part that was added?
I think it was probably added for the clarity, you know, for, and now all of a sudden we're like, really? I know. So, but it does make sense to me, at least if I know, are we completing it all the way through the ground? And so as long as I know that's the rules of engagement going in, but we do talk about that as assistants for sure. And it's funny how you'll see offensive coaches, the defensive coaches may see rules a little bit differently, as you might imagine.
On that final drive, when you got the ball, just a couple of things.
Sure.
Is there a standing order for Williams in that case to stay in the end zone and save the extra time?
Yeah.
And then when you looked at the drive, did you see that they should have been clocked after that complete? I knew we had the drop with Hank, but
yeah.
Should it have been clocked in retrospect?
In retrospect, that would probably have been the better decision on that one. There's all sorts of ones that come up at the end of 2 minutes. You know, I think in retrospect, because the resulting completion was so short. Had you reloaded it and ripped another one that was for a big one, then you said, man, that was a good one where, you don't get a lot of stuff from a defense when you're on the ball. So when the clock stopped or you clock it, it turns into like another third down play. So sometimes the advantage can go to the offense when you can get on the ball and rip a good one. When you throw it for, you know, and a quick pass outside, then it's like the result might have been not what you wanted. The intent might have been the shot down the field, and then when you – add the result of the play, that would have been the one. And then regarding the first question with Eric, I think that's a valid point.
What about, just clarifying on that early interception that Matt threw in the end zone that looked like he might have he took it at the ground sort of.
Yep.
What did they explain to you on, I mean?
That there was not enough to overturn it.
That was.
Yep, and so that's what I was told. And as you know, once it's reviewed as a turnover, or once it's made that, then there's no challenge from me on that end. That goes directly to the booth. That's what it was explained to me. Yeah.
That's what they explained.
Right.
Like the ground.
Yeah, certainly.
Is it almost, you think, one of those, if they had ruled it incomplete that it probably would have stayed as well?
That's what we were, you know, if it was going to be ruled as incomplete, would they have been able to challenge as it, you know, was a catch and seeing the ball move? So that's one of the ones I'm hoping for some further clarification from the league on. I am, yeah. So I haven't had a chance to ask them yet. But that's one, like when we talked about, you know, where are we with some of those are, that's one play that I'd like some clarification from the league on. So I'm going to ask for.
When we saw the replay, I'm like, well, that's obviously going to be overturned.
Yeah, in fact, like I brought the defense back. Yeah, I brought the defense back over in that same, just looking at it from, you know, the copy that we saw the same thing. So I'll get some clarification on that, hopefully, you know, tonight.
Sure. Was that a red light you told him?
We did not, no.
Is that a miscommunication? Like, should that have been said?
I think it should have been up from my end, but I did not go in as a red light. To you know, he didn't defy a rule or anything like that. I think it was more along the line of a competitor saying, "I'm going to go make a difference." And on the retrospect of the outcome, all those seconds are at a premium, and so good learning one for me as well.
Coach, could you you all had the 10 play drives, and you know didn't score early, and then kind of fell apart late. What are y'all looking at on the offense to try to, you know, keep that going? Or, you know, just it's like you're up here and, you know, it's up here at some points and right. Then, you know, down.
I think the biggest thing, led that would be for, you know, why weren't there more longer drives?
Or just the convulsions of the operation. And you're operating at a high peak during some parts of the game and then at a low level
right.
During others.
I think for sure the turnovers were a factor on two of them only because they came so early in the drive. I believe it was the first play on both of them, if I'm not mistaken. So could those have been two more, you know, 8-10 play drive? I mean, that's speculation for sure. But I would like our chances, knowing who our players are, that we would be able to, you know, move the ball and attack like we'd like to.
Dan, as far as the play calling, I mean, is there times when Kyle is too aggressive? Take the one out of the end zone. I mean, when you run on your one-yard line, you're in a game where you didn't trail until under the final minute. Is there a sense where you say, look, even if we're going to go 3-and-out, let's run the ball 3 times, kill 3.5 minutes of clock, and live to see another series and put our defense back on the field that's played well all game long? I mean, is there a sense that there's too much aggressiveness?
Well, I think that's certainly a way that you could look at it. I think at times when there's – on that particular play, talking about the interception went back, when you're stacked up in the run, it's a pretty high percentage throw that went really bad. And that play has been a really successful one. So it wasn't a deep shot, you know, it was one that we would say this one's going to be pretty good right here and we'd have a chance for a big one. When we didn't execute it like you like, the result was, you know, disastrous. So I think it's more of, you know, I understand your point to say, okay, let's, you know, keep it moving with the run game going. On that one, we would have said this is a pretty high percentage throw for us.
Desmond Trufant's sack was one of the more impressive plays of the day. From your vantage point, how did that one materialize?
Well, it's one that we talk about. He had man coverage on the tight end, and on that particular play, his guy blocked. And so on certain defense, he might stay back. If there's an underneath coverage player on this one, he's taught to go. And so it was a really good tackle, the whole finish of the play. I thought, you know, him in specific, you know, had some really good plays in the game.
It seemed like he was not necessarily hesitation, but he kind of waited to see if the tight end was going to block. Is that just kind of the presence of a football player?
I think so, to know that you know, these are the things that could come up for me in this scenario. And then I think that's what good players do. These are some alerts that may happen based on this formation. When you can get your thinking to that level as a player, and if they do something else, they do it. But if they do this particular thing, I'm going to capitalize.
Coach, other than Julio, how would you assess if your receivers are getting open?
Like an overall assessment?
Yeah.
Counting tight ends and backs into that as well? Well, I think, you know, there was certainly some deep shot plays. I know we had, you know, a big one out to Hank out on our defensive right, offensive left for sure was one. Tammy had one. I know he'd like to get back. And I think we ended up with five to six drops. So are those catchable ones as well? And those are ones that we don't kind of talk about, you know, regarding Matt. There was the big, you know, play that we have talked about. So it's a good question that I'd say I don't have an overall grade for it in terms of the assessment. But I can say this, I have a lot of confidence in those guys when their number is called or the route, you know, progression goes to them, that they can make the plays necessary, including Hardy, who's kind of just coming on some.
And Leonard said going into the game, he knew he had a bunch of drops. And
right.
He said that was something that he wanted to really work on,
right.
You know, coming off the injury. He has a crucial one.
To, yeah.
You know,
yep.
So.
Yeah, it was
to his mind. So
yeah,
he
it was.
Avoid those.
I know it for sure. And the one, you know, coming across the middle for us to say, man, that was a like one where can you get back on the ball again and go attack? Yeah, it was really disappointing.
Dan, I don't know what your post-game routine is, but yesterday it did seem like a longer amount of time before you came out. Were there things, I don't know if you're meeting with coaches, are you?
Yeah, I didn't put a time gauge on it one way or another. Probably just talked to some players some more. And so if that was later on my end, it was by no design to hold anybody up. But it was probably just me talking to the guys more, you know.
Is that the type of game where those conversations?
I think so, just to make sure, you know, like it was hard fought. And so when we don't get the results you want, it can be, you know, just challenging in all sorts of ways. So I wanted to make sure that that the effort and put forth the toughness, you know, it's appreciated. And we're going to work like crazy to get our football exactly right. And then after that, I did spend some time with the coaches just talking through some things. But it wasn't by any great design other than I wanted to connect with a couple of the guys.
Is there any worry right now? I mean, after you have a 5-0 start, you're obviously – it's a long season. And,
yep.
But you're feeling pretty good about your chances going forward and for even, you know, post-regular season. Now, all of a sudden, you got a couple teams. But are you worried about the trying to make sure the guys don't panic or this doesn't – I mean, it's already kind of snowballed a little bit. But
yeah, for sure. I know where you're going with it. I understand the storyline. Yeah, for sure. The bear is not loose here, okay? So inside the building, I want to make sure we're really clear on that. We've got a really talented team and a coaching staff that really believes in these guys. And we're going to do everything in our power to make sure as players and coaches – we're going to be at our best every Sunday. And so for us to make sure that these kind of games that ended up the 4 points or less going 3-3, that we flip that and go the other way with it.
Coach, real quick, do you see Adrian Peterson kind of getting back to the way he was before he went out with, you know, his suspension and all that?
Yeah, I don't remember him being any different, to be honest with you. I think it's the explosiveness that he has in his cuts. That's one of the things I've most admired about his game, where he starts off to one side, and when he puts his foot in the ground and explodes back out, there's just this gear that he hits. And then it's the strength and speed that he's able to go. But I've always felt that it's, yeah, he has strong, you know, running when the play's there. But when he changes field and sticks his foot in the ground, we are a leverage-based tackling team, and when you play a runner who's as explosive as that, you better be on the details.
Well, there's no panic. How do you keep your level of frustration in check over the last 5 weeks?
I think I want to just make sure I'm consistently at our best for the team and finding every single opportunity and way for us to feature that, you know, offensively, defensively, on special teams, and making sure collectively our mindsets that we're going to go forward at every opportunity. And the way we practice each week, you know, based in its own week, the process that we go through from Tell the Truth Monday to Competition Wednesday, all the way through the process. I love that process that we go through. It enables us to, you know, be ready to go each week. By no stretch am I pleased with, you know, the results of the last, you know, month of our season. But I do know we got a lot of ball to play, and we got a lot of good players, and we'll find our best, you know, ball out there for us.
Yeah, probably since Princeton Rutgers, I hear the conversation, we talk about turnovers. We're going to talk about turnovers.
Sure.
Has there ever really been a conversation that works when you talk about turnovers?
I think what it is, like, and for me, it's a big part of our program. You know that just from being around me in the short time that we have. Oftentimes, you get what you emphasize. And so we devote, you know, a day to it. And the way we want to go after on defense, whether it's the strips or, you know, causing the interceptions. And I just know that this style that we're going through, teaching them about the ball, making great decisions, it'll turn. And I have great belief in that. So we're not going to continue to have games where we turn it over three times. It's hard to get three on the other side of it, too. So I have great belief that that is not going to stay a consistent part of what we're doing.
Can you see the difference between a mental mistake and a physical mistake on turnovers?
I can.
You can?
Yeah. And here's I'll give you, you know, kind of an example of that. A physical mistake might be as a runner – I was in the pile and I was digging for extra and I just, you know, let my elbow get out and the ball came out. A mental one might be I was catching it and I didn't even have the mindset to put it away and transfer it in before I even started running. And a guy came and got it out right as it was going. A mindset might be a mental one as a defensive player. The ball was there and he didn't take the shot for it. He didn't have the mindfulness to say, I'm going after the ball. Or a physical one, you know, might be defensively, did I miss a tackle because I was going for the ball and not tackling? So, like, those are the balance that we talk about. The tackling defensively comes first, then the mindset for the ball. And then offensively, in the consciousness of it, we say everybody's responsible for the football, the center, the quarterback, the left tackle, the tight end, the catching it, the running it. So we try to put that emphasis on the entire group.